And we are continuing our series, Incognito, and I've titled this message, Don't Look Back. I mean, I know Pastor Colleen said, you know, how many of you guys got good memories of your mom? All right, Jeff, you better raise your hand, right, because your mom's right there. So, if your mom's here, you better raise your hand, I'm just telling you. That's a wise saying. My mom's probably watching online, so I got good memories, Mom. I love you. Just happy Mother's Day. I'm letting you know that now. But looking back, sometimes we have more nostalgia about things and how things really were. How many of you know sometimes what we remember is not actually accurate, right? Maybe you have better memories. Oh, man, that was so amazing. And then, you know, you find out about it now. It's like, it wasn't as great as I thought it was. And I wanted to share one of the things that I remember as a kid. I mean, we're talking about the fair. Going to the local fair, riding the rides, and they were amazing. How many of you guys remember this ride? I mean, it's still going on, the Graviton, right? Yeah, I see some people doing that. Let me tell you, as a kid, I love this ride. You know, you get stuck on the wall, you turn sideways, and all of that. It was amazing. And, you know, when I was a teenager in my early 20s, I had great memories of it. But, you know, life goes on, got married, had kids, they grew up. Fast forward about 10 years ago, Joshua had come back from college, and we were at the Chico, the Butte County Fair, and my wife, she didn't ride rides like this, never. I mean, the only time she even dared ride something that was slightly scary was when we were dating and she was wanting to impress me. Once we got married, it was over. No more, though. So if we ever went on any of these rides, I had to go with my kids, so... About 10 years ago, I can't remember exactly. It had been about 25 years since I'd been on a ride like this. And I had these memories. Oh, yeah, I love that ride. That was fun. That was great. So I'm going to give you a quick video. If you've never been on the Graviton or one like it, I'm going to show you what it was like. So go ahead and play that. It starts out in about 20 seconds. The gravity is already pulling you against the wall.
Brandon.
I love the two guys that are filming this.
Abduction here.
You'll notice they'll say woo a lot of times, but it's not real convincing.
My back, like that.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Look at that
one kid already.
Oh, man.
He's already sideways. He's loving it. He's at the right age. Yeah. And then the seats kind of fly up and look at that. And it's not super comfortable. The guy on the left, I don't think, is enjoying it as much. He's like holding his head and wiping his head. I can picture Robert being that guy. Man, that kid's all sideways now. Loving it. Yeah, they're acting like they got a smile. How many of you know that smile? This is great. So let me just say, as that's playing, as it's going around, we got on that ride, and what I remembered was not my reality. Because we finally got, and I just remember like, oh my gosh, when's this ride going to end? And it probably wasn't any more than like 3 minutes or something like that. I don't know, but I remember got off, and Joshua was like, oh man, that was great. And I got off, I'm like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I was like so nauseated. I will never get on the Graviton again. I'm just telling you, like the next time Robert gets on it, I'll get on it, right? He's doing that. So let me just say, my past memory was far different than my current reality. Amen? I thought I would go back to a time when that ride was actually fun. That wasn't the case. So even as we get into this, back to this incognito, I had a subtitle, The Unnamed Heroes of the Bible. But today I'm going to change it up a little. I'm going to talk about another incognito person. We don't have her name. It's a female. We know she was a wife and a mother. However, today we're not going to look at her for inspiration. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at her as what not to do. How many of you know you can learn from everybody in life? Right, you can learn from those that, man, you know what, I want to pattern my life like them. And then there's others that you're like, I'm not doing that. I feel like, you know, I'm the youngest of my brother and sister. Being the youngest sometimes is a benefit because you can look at your older siblings and you're like, oh man, that didn't work out for so-and-so, right? I'm not going to do that. And so there's lessons to be learned. Listen, if you're the oldest, how many of you know you are the test child? right? You're the one that, oh, you know, man, how come their mom's not so mean on you? How come mom's not? And it's like, hey, listen, I learned from you. That didn't work well. I'm not doing that. So same thing is true with biblical characters. We can look at some of them and like, oh, man, I want to do that. Or I can look at it and say, nope, not doing that. So now we know that this woman had her husband. We know his name. His name is Lot. And the story of Lot's family really is tragic. I mean, it's absolutely tragic. Lot's uncle was Abraham. God told Abraham, this was a promise God made to Abraham. I'm going to bless you and your family. Well, Lot is a part of his family, so that blessing should have included him, right? That should have included him. And while Abraham and Lot were together, Lot was blessed abundantly. Their flocks were growing. But at one point, there was bickering that was taking place between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. So instead of trying to work it out, Lot goes his own way. And he got to pick the direction he went. So we're going to pick up this story out of Genesis chapter 13. It says, Abraham lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain, pitched his tents near Sodom. And now the men of Sodom were wicked and they were sinning greatly against the Lord. So we, you know, if you've been in reading the Bible at all, we know Sodom was a wicked place. Very perverse. We're not going to talk a lot about that. But here's the reality. When Lot left Abraham, he basically removed himself from where God was blessing. He's like, I'm going over here. He faced danger several times that Abraham has to rescue him. And this is an important lesson. If you have a bulletin, this is a fill-in that when I remove myself from God's blessings, I can expect bad things to happen. Right? I mean, let's just say bad things happen no matter where you're at, but there's a difference with bad things happening when you're with God and where God blesses, because God says, I promise to be with you, you know, through even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does God say? I'm with you, right? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you get to the other side. If you've removed yourself from where God's blessings is, guess what? You get to go through the valley on your own. And good luck trying to find your way through it. And usually it doesn't end up well. And so he removed himself. Lot was now in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong things. That's just where he was. No wonder he almost died. You can't expect God's blessings when you choose to hang out and participate with the wrong people. If you do that, listen, and I believe that what Paul says in Corinthians is as true today as it ever has been. In chapter 15, he's saying, hey, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Look what Paul says. Don't be fooled by people that say such things. Hey, let's have a party. Everything's going to be great. Who cares? You know what? We're going to die one day. Let's just live it up. What does he say? For bad company corrupts good character. Isn't that true? Those that you choose to hang around with, even whatever good character you have, how many of you know it's eventually going to change? If you want to know what you're like, look at who you hang around. I mean, that's just a reality. Look what Paul goes on to say in verse 34. He says, think carefully. Everybody say, think carefully.
Think carefully.
How many of you know a lot of times people don't think? I mean, isn't that true? You look in our world, it's like, he says, think carefully about what is right. Stop sinning. Sometimes I hear people, and maybe you've said it, like you did something stupid. I mean, especially when you're kids, right? Why did you do that? I don't know, right? I don't know. And as we get to be, you know what? I just didn't even think about it. I did that, and I didn't even think about it. How many of you know that's a dangerous way to live your life? To do things without even thinking. And Paul is saying, think carefully about what is right. And he says, stop sinning, for to your shame. And think about this. Paul is addressing believers, Christians in Corinth. And he says, to your shame, I say some of you, you don't even know God at all. Basically, you may be in church, but you're not even thinking about it, and you're just doing whatever you want to do. You're not even thinking. You're like, hey, listen, this is my life. I'm just going to do whatever. Go for it if that's what you want to do. That's exactly what Lot did. That didn't work out so well. So we've got to think about it. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we don't want to think about what's right. And the reason is because we like our sin and we don't want to stop. Isn't that true? We like it. And it's like, I mean, the scripture does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. So you're enjoying it. You're like, hey, what's the problem? No big deal. If you're in a sinful situation, maybe a relationship that you know is not right, maybe an addiction, drugs, pornography, it could be all kinds of things. Maybe you got an out of control temper, right? Nobody like that, right? How many of you know that's a sin? Being angry is not a sin, but if your temper is out of control, that is a sin. Or maybe you're gossip. Oh man, we don't want to talk about that, right? I could go on. But let me just say this. We live in a society today that has misconstrued what love is. And they think that love equals acceptance. That if you don't accept me and everything about me, then you must not love me. Do you guys think that's true? Not at all. Does Jesus love everybody? I mean, just think about, well, let me just say this. Jesus does love all of us, right? But he doesn't accept any of our sinful behaviors, any of our deviant behavior. And listen, I love my kids. They're wonderful, but like if, and I just see Joshua there, so I'm going to pick on him since he made me go on the Graviton with him. But if he became a notorious thief, you know, and it's like, hey, listen, that's just who I am. I'm just a thief. That's what I do. And if you don't accept that about me, then you must not really love me. Is that crazy? Right? But that's kind of where our world is with this. Let me just say that we love people here. That doesn't mean we accept sin. Listen, I don't even accept my own sin. You know, it's something that I wrestle against. I don't just like, well, you know what? That's just who I am. No, it's a fight. It's something that I wrestle with. So I don't even accept it in my own self. But here at Freedom Church, I want to let you know, we will love you. And if there's something going on, we will address you, but we'll do it not in a condemning way. Right? How many of you know there is a difference? Oh, you filthy sinner, you're going to go to hell if you don't get this right. No, it'll be in a loving way. Because guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one that brings conviction. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Surprise, surprise, right? That's why we got a Holy Spirit conference. It's not me. It's not you. It's not your spouse. I mean, your spouse may be the closest thing, but yeah. But let me tell you, Jesus loves us. And I love, you know, the woman that got caught in adultery in John chapter 8. It says that after Jesus dealt with all the ones that were ready to throw rocks, that were ready to bring condemnation on her, after they all left because Jesus said, hey, let those without sin throw the first stone, all of them knew they couldn't throw the stone. And so Jesus goes and straightened up and he asked the woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Nobody's here to condemn you. And she says, no one, sir. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. You know, to condemn somebody is to pronounce judgment on them. And I think sometimes the church can be guilty of doing that. At least people perceive that. Oh, you're condemning me. You're condemning me. No, listen, Jesus isn't condemning. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. He did not come. John 3:16 is a very famous verse. I think most of us know it. For God so what? That he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We quote that all the time, but sometimes we don't go into verse 17 because I think it goes right along. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So he didn't come to bring condemnation. He didn't come to bring judgment on us. He came to love us. I didn't put verse 18 up there, but you can look it up in your Bible. Basically, it says that we condemn ourselves by choosing not to believe in him. Amen. Right? When we choose not to believe in him. But here's the thing. Even though he doesn't condemn the woman, what does he do? He still tells her, hey, listen, go. Leave your life of sin. I'm not pronouncing judgment on you, but you've got to leave that. And I believe his words are still true today. Amen? See, sometimes we need to change the people we hang around. Let's be honest. I believe that's why we have life groups here. I mean, that is one of the reasons we have that. Because sometimes we got to surround ourselves with people that will encourage us towards godliness rather than the ones that discourage us. Because the scripture, what I just read, bad company corrupts good character. I believe the opposite is true as well. Good company will encourage good character. So you get people in your life that will encourage you towards righteousness, towards the right things. And let me just say, I may be a pastor, but I need that in my life as well. I'm not in a place of perfection. I know that maybe is a shock to some of you guys, right? But it's not to my family, right? It's not to my family. So I need people in my life that will encourage me and push me in the right direction. Amen? So let's go on back with the story. So Lot left Abraham for Sodom. Right after that, war broke out in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot and his family were taken captive. Abraham comes to the rescue and rescues all of them. And you would think at that point that Lot would say, hey, you know what? I'm done with Sodom. This place isn't working out so well. Abraham, let's work something out so that I can be back where you're at. Does he do that? No, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, he goes right back to Sodom. His family spirals out of control. His son-in-laws end up dying in Sodom. His daughters commit unspeakable sin that we're not going to talk about. You can read it in the scripture. And his wife died. That's tragic. Yeah, it's tragic. And all of that, everything that happened was a preventable, foolish decision that took place that we can learn from. So let me just say, when we are away from God's blessing, do you realize it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody around you. Anybody connected. Sometimes we're like, hey, listen, this isn't hurting anybody else. This is just me. I hate to pop your bubble, but it affects more than you realize. It'll affect your family. It'll affect other relationships in your life. So no man, what's that phrase? No man's an island, right? And your sin, if it's in there, it's going to bounce off of you and it's going to splash on other people. Amen? So here's the thing. Lot's wife became a lesson so important that even Jesus referred to her, but as a negative example. You know, I started this series out, I believe it was the second week, talking about the widow that gave the two mites. He used her as a positive example. I would much rather that than be used by Jesus as the negative example. Amen? I don't want to be the negative examples, but she was. And so the question is, in Luke 17, he says, remember Lot's wife. So Jesus is teaching a principle that we're going to get to at the end of this message. But the question is, what did she do that was so bad that she became the negative illustration? I mean, wouldn't you want to know? All right? The whole story, you can read Genesis chapter 18 and 19. I'm not going to cover all that. I'm going to try to summarize it today. So I'm going to start with Genesis 18, verse 20. It said, the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great that their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Basically, God is saying, listen, I'm going to go and check it out. And if it's as bad as I'm hearing, then I'm going to destroy the area. I'm going to wipe it out. That may sound harsh, but he gives warning. And if you know the rest of chapter 18, you can read it. That's when Abraham starts trying to negotiate with God or interceding for it. Like, hey, if there's 30 righteous people, will you save the city? You know, God's like, yes, 20 righteous people, 10 righteous people. If there were just 10, God said, I would save it. And eventually there wasn't even 10. So Abraham's like, can you save my nephew and his family? Because they're there. He's interceding. He's pleading for his family. And God agrees. And he sends two angels down there to get Lot and his family out of there. So we're going to jump ahead to Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. It says, the two men, and those were the angels that were there, ask Lot, do you have anyone else here, son-in-laws, sons, daughters, anyone else in the city who belongs to you? And he says, get them out of here because we are going to destroy this place. That's a harsh warning right there. And so Lot, you can read the next couple of verses. Lot tried to get everyone. He tried to get his son-in-laws out of there. But the son-in-laws thought that he was joking. Like, oh man, that's a good one, Lot, you know. What else is God going to do? What else do you think God's going to do? Here's the principle that we can learn from that. Don't ignore the word of the Lord, even if it sounds crazy. And I know today, a lot of people hear things, oh, you Bible people, you Christians, you've been talking about Jesus coming back for so long. Like, when's it going to happen? Ooh, I'm scared. I mean, they think it sounds crazy. But how many of you know we're seeing things unfold? It's coming closer and closer. So we can't, are we going to ignore something just because it may sound a little crazy? Listen, God has done some crazy things. Who ever heard of dead people rising again? All right, I shared that story last week that happened at Easter in Gaza as a dead person rising again. It still happens. There are documented stories and testimonies that have happened around the world. Listen, God is still doing that. And people think, wow, that's crazy. Does that really happen? Yes, it does. So when God speaks, don't ignore it. Amen? Verse 15. Let's move on. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Because guess what? The son-in-laws weren't there. They were off doing something else. The angel's like, this is getting important. I mean, it's about to happen. He says, you will be swept away when the city is punished. It's about to happen. You guys got to get out of here. The next part is really interesting to me. After that warning and that urgency, it says that when he, talking about Lot, hesitated. Get out of here. Wow, I don't know. I like what the Message version, the way it says it. Lot was dragging his feet. Right? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Nobody here has ever dragged their feet when God said to do something, have you? Oh, yeah, I see some hands up there. Well, you know what? Lot, he kept making foolish decisions. He's not running. He's pausing. He's dragging his feet. And I believe that all of us can be there at one time or another. We know the right thing to do. We feel that God is set, and we're like, okay, God, maybe I'll do it. Some of you guys have drug your feet in order when you heard God calling you and pulling on your heart to get saved, right? What does the scripture say? Today is the day of salvation. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, right? And we hesitate. Sometimes we're like, you know what, God, maybe tomorrow. You know what, maybe I'll do that in 6 months, right? Next year, God, I promise I'm going to get things right with you. And we push it off, and we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So he hesitated. He's dragging his feet. Let me read the rest of verse 16. When he hesitated, the men grabbed his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters, led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. So they're like done warning. They're like, let me grab you by the hand and we're getting out of here. They basically, if I were to read the rest out of the Message version, they drug them out of the city. All right. Anybody you guys have growing up and had your parents drug you to church and drug you back? All right. You're like, well, I didn't have a drug problem, but my parents drug me back. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, right? So they pulled them out. The angels were done. Why did they do that? Why did they drag him out? It's because God was merciful. You know, the word mercy simply means not getting the punishment you deserve. Everybody in this room, anybody watching online, if you're serving the Lord now, how many of you know it's because of God's mercy? None of us deserve it. None of us have been good enough. What does the scripture say? All have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. Right? Nobody has climbed the ladder like, oh yeah, I deserve this. I earned this. I've made it on my own. If you think you made it on your own, be careful because you haven't. Right? We are here. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. I think of so many times that, you know what, God, I would have given up on myself, right? But God doesn't. He keeps showing that mercy. Amen? So after the angels got them out, drug them out, they gave them very specific instructions, just like God gives us very specific instructions. Look at verse 17. You'll see there's four of them. He says, as soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives, number one. Don't look back, number two. Don't stop anywhere in the plains, number three. And flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. All right, I'm just going to pause for a moment and say, how many of you know that sounds like a lot of people's escape from the Bay Area? Right? Like, think about it. Flee for your lives, right? Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plains. Head for El Dorado County, right? Sorry, when I read that, that was the picture that was in my head, but that maybe you won't forget that one, right? Head for the foothills. So anyway, you would think that he would do that. After all this is going on, but what did Lot do? Verse 18, Lot said to them, no. Right? Does anybody ever say that to the Lord? Don't raise your hand. But no, my Lord, please. And he, you know, a few more things, jumped to 20. Look, here's a small town that I can run to. It's small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. Lot, I just want to say, how are you leading your family? He drags his feet. He hesitates. Now he's basically trying to negotiate with God. I know what you told me, and he actually thinks he knows better to God. God says, go there, and you will be safe. But he's like, oh, but there's a little place right here, God. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I can go there. And I believe, again, because of God's mercy, and maybe because the angels basically had had enough of him, the guy was so hard-headed, they said, come on, God, let's just put him there. God agrees, and he allows him. He allows him to go there. But I believe that he missed the best that God had for him. I believe he missed the best that he had. So here's let's go on verse 23. By the time Lot reached Zoar, which is the small town, says the sun had risen over the land, then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities, the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. And it is documented. You can go to Israel where this area is all basically, you know, salt flats that are there. And it wasn't there before. So it happened, just like he said. Now I want to look at Lot's wife, the woman that had no name other than Mrs. Lot. I guess you could have called her that. Eventually Salt, right? That was her name. It's maybe a salt lick, I think, because after that, the cows loved her, right? How many of you know a nice big salt lick out in the middle? It's like, hey, let's go lick on that, right? So anyway, well, let me just jump to verse 26. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Wow. That was crazy. So one verse, think about it. One mistake, one tragic death, one important, valuable lesson, I think, for all of us. And some have read what happened to Lot's wife, and they're like, wow, that was harsh. What happened to the merciful God that we were just talking about? Because all she did was look back. What about that mercy? But listen, I want us to look at this and think about it. It wasn't just a casual look back. It wasn't that. When she turned and looked back at Sodom, it was actually the exact opposite of what God told them. They said, don't look back. And what did she do? She looked back, right? It was disobedience. And I believe it wasn't a fleeting glance back. I believe it was a deliberate act of disobedience that when she turned around, this is what we have to understand. She may not have physically been in Sodom, but emotionally, that's where she still was at. Yeah, that longing that was there, much like the Israelites when they left Egypt, it was like Egypt was still in them. And sometimes that happens. Like, I think most of you guys know I grew up in Texas. That's where I was raised. And you know the phrase, where you're from somewhere, it's like you can take the boy out of Texas, but you can't take what out? Yeah, no, the Cowboys. So, I'm just kidding. So, can't take the I believe for Lot's wife is you can take the woman out of Sodom, but you couldn't take Sodom out of her. It was still in there. She instead of focusing on what God had done and rescued them and God's mercy, how he set them free, got them and was taking them to another place, all she could do was look back and long for the place that she came from. All she was doing is looking back. Those that are former addicts know this word very well called relapse. How many of you heard that? We understand that. How many of you know relapse doesn't just happen to former addicts? It happens to every one of us that have been delivered from something and eventually returned back to it. What does the scripture say? As a dog returns to its vomit, right? Sometimes that can happen to any of us, right? Maybe you go back to an abusive relationship and you're like, oh, God, you delivered. And then you start thinking, well, you know what? And people do that all the time. Right? They go back to friends that you know, got them in trouble all the time. It's like, stop hanging around him, right? Only get you in trouble. Maybe going back to gambling. You know what? You finally paid off all the debt, and it's like, oh, man, that lottery's up pretty high. You know what? I'll just drop me $20, $40, whatever. It begins to snowball, doesn't it? Right? It may start out small. Here's the reality. When you look back, ultimately, you start going back. Isn't that true? Remember what Jesus said about, he goes, anyone that puts their hand to the plow and then looks back, he says, is not worthy of the kingdom. Why is that? Because if you try to walk a straight line, but you keep looking back, how many of you know you're going to eventually start making that turn before you know it? And it's little increments. Please hear me. It's little increments. You may still be kind of pointing north, right? But slowly you are turning as long as you keep looking back. And that's why Jesus is saying, stop looking back. Stop looking back. So when I go back, I'm going to eventually be there. Because here's the reality. The pull of Sodom was strong for Lot's wife. It was there. And that pull to go back to your old life and your old things, how many of you know it's strong? How many of you would testify? It's strong. Right? And the more distance that you get away, can I tell you that that stronghold weakens? But if you're freshly out of it, it's like, oh God, I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to, that's why, you know, when I gave, and I've shared this with people, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was a teenager, and it was like 2 years I was waffling back and forth. I'm like, oh God, I'm serving you. The next thing I know, I'm going back over here. And I had to put distance from my past to stop going to my past. That means I had to think about it and like, oh no, I'm not going to do this anymore, even though my flesh wanted to do it. Because that old life is strong. Sometimes it's so strong that we forget the reason we left in the first place. Why did I leave that? This was so good. I remember, man, it was so fun. And we tell stories about our past. Wasn't that great? Man, that was so wonderful. That was awesome. And, you know, if you laugh and romanticize the past that had you in bondage, how many of you know you're going to be right back there? You're going to be right back there. So kind of like me on the Graviton. It's like, oh, man, that was so nice. Well, let me tell you my experience. I'm not going again, but let me just say, I've been pastoring for a long time, and it's grievous to see people that were once following Jesus go back to their old life. It hurts, doesn't it? How many of you know people that once served God and they've turned back, right? I bet you almost everybody in this room. And I believe the question, you know, like, why did Lot's wife, why did she go, but why did she look back? Why? I mean, we don't really know why she did. I think maybe a better question is, why do we look back? Why do we look back? And I believe there's all kinds of reasons. No way I could ever cover all the reasons, but I want to cover two of them. Number one, I look back when I think I know, I look back when I think I know better than God. Isn't that true? And I know that we may say, well, I would never say that. How many of you know our action says it all the time? Just like Lot said, well, here's a small city. Let's just do this. Why don't we just do that? Maybe his Lot's wife was saying, you know what? I'm just looking back. It's not that big of a deal. What's the big deal? Why are you getting all so worked up about? Let me tell you, when people think they know better than God, we begin to make excuses for our behavior. All right, we begin to make excuses. What we do is we rationalize our disobedient behavior and we justify it. Can I ask you this question? How many affairs, divorces, and broken families started out with someone saying, hey, I'm just looking? I'm just looking. You know, I'm not touching. What's the big deal? Hey, we were just friends in the office. There's nothing better going on than, hey, I'm just emailing. Hey, we're just talking. All of those little things that eventually began to grow and became a destructive force in your family, right? Some of you guys have lived through that. How many people have relapsed into alcohol by saying, oh, it's just one drink? I mean, come on, I'm not getting drunk anymore. I mean, back then, but how many of you know, eventually, the longer you go, it's going to get you there, right? No, I can control it. I can't tell how many times I can control it. Or how about, oh, you know what, it's just marijuana. Come on, everybody does it. And by the way, it is legal, right? How many of you realize just because something's legal does not make it good? You could go eat milkweed if that's what you want to do. It's legal. Go for it, but it's not going to be good for you. All right? There's a lot of things that we can do. And nobody, it's no big deal. Let me just say, a lot of times I hear, oh, I'm just human. I'm just doing my thing. I remember as a kid, and I'm going to tell a story about my mom here quickly, but I was playing soccer, and you know, how many of you played soccer? Anyone growing up played? So I remember trying to dribble the ball, you know, kicking it by myself, and you know, I grew up in West Texas, so it was hot, so a lot of times I'd practice in my room, And I remember my mom saying, hey, don't play with that, don't kick that ball in the house. And I thought, my mom doesn't know what she's talking about. I got this. All right? How many of you know this isn't going to end well, right? You can already tell. And I remember I'd be in there trying to kick the ball. And one time I kicked a little bit too hard. I had a ceiling fan with a big globe light. And eventually that light was shattered into pieces all over the floor. And I realized maybe my mom actually knew what she was talking about. I mean, my heart sunk over that. And it made me think of, many of you guys will remember Ralphie from The Christmas Story. Well, everybody told him, even Santa at the department store says, you'll shoot your eye out. And he didn't believe him. I'm not going to shoot my eye out. And if he didn't have glasses, he would have shot his eye out. Right? And God knows best for us, doesn't he? Sometimes we think we know best and we'll take, oh, God, you know, you're just a spoil sport. You're just trying to ruin my fun. No, God actually does know what's best. God says, I've got plans for you, plans to prosper. But listen, we got to follow his plan. We can't follow our plan and get God's blessings out of it. It doesn't work that way, just like Ralphie found out, right? So that was it. When I think I know better than God, things never end up well. The second reason we look back is that I forget how bad it really was. Again, nostalgia is a powerful force. We start forgetting. How many of you know the good old days sometimes were just the old days? They weren't as good as you thought they were. And it's like, if you go back to it, it's like, oh man, you know, let me just say, the good old days didn't have air conditioning. How many of you know it's getting warm again? It's like, I thank God for my air conditioning, but that's a side issue. The Israelites, like I said, they forgot how bad slavery in Egypt was. And they began to hit some difficult times, you know, wandering through the desert. Most of the difficult times was because of their own rebellious self. But then they started romanticizing the past. Oh, man, when we were back in Egypt, we had all kinds of leeks and onions, and we had everything that but they forgot about making bricks with no straw, right? They forgot about the harsh labor and being cracked. And what we do when we forget how bad it is, it's kind of like them. The Israelites would rather go back and be a slave than to do the hard work, follow God, and walk into a land of freedom of their own. That happens to us too. Oh, let me go back. Oh, that was fun. Oh, that was so wonderful back then. And it's like, no, you persevere. Paul says, do not grow weary in doing well, because at the right time, you will reap a harvest. I always wonder how many people gave up just before that harvest came in. Right? Yeah, sometimes we can get weary. Sometimes it's a challenge, but you keep doing it. And listen, I've been serving God for a long time. Some of you guys have too. And it's like, man, God has blessed me in so many different ways that I say, thank you, God, that I didn't give up. Thank you, God, that I kept persevering. Thank you, God, for your mercies when I blew it. Thank you for your grace that I didn't deserve. And it's like, there's nothing about my past that I desire anymore. It's like, thank you, Jesus, it's gone, right? It doesn't have a pull on me, but I want to challenge you. Don't let it get a pull on you. Your emotions, and temptation, it has that way of distorting your memory. And we've got to realize that just because things get hard, that's why we repeat destructive behaviors and life choices, just because sometimes life gets hard. Of course it gets hard, but I believe that God is saying, don't look back, don't go back. Don't go back to it. Remember Jesus' word. Remember Lot's wife. So I'm actually going to be really quick here. I'm going to give you four lessons from Lot's wife, and I believe really their family, that illustrates a pattern of failure. Number one, don't walk away from God's blessings. Don't do it. This all started when Lot left for Sodom and chose that over Abraham. And when we choose something, when we choose to follow our own path rather than the place of blessing, like I said earlier, it's not going to end up well. And so I want to say this, don't drop out of church. If you have, come back. If you're watching online, come back, because that's where God is going to bless you, because you're going to be not only in God's presence, you're going to be challenged to go further with him. You get connected to a small group. Listen, this is not just another thing to do. I believe it's where we encourage one another. And let me just tell you, I need that in my life. I want people to encourage me because, you know, like I said, oh, well, you're the pastor. Don't you have it all together? I still need people to push me forward. Amen? I still need people to encourage me. So find a small group. Get connected. We've got them up and down the ridge. We got in El Dorado Hills. We've got one that meets here. We got one in Rescue. We got one in Placerville, one up in Pollock Pines. So there, we have a wall out there. Get connected to a group. We got a young marriage group. And our young adults group, sorry. So you don't have to be married to come to it. Just and when I say young, I'm talking like 30 under. So it's an important thing to build relationships. You need that in your life. We all need that. So don't walk away. Don't do like Lot did. Secondly, don't hesitate when God tells you to do something. What are you waiting for? When God is dealing with you about something, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. How many of you know if you push it off, you're not going to do it? Isn't that true? Sometimes you just got to pull the finger. It's like standing in front of the pool and it's cold. You're like, oh, I don't know if I want to jump in it. How many of you know sometimes you just got to jump in both feet, right? You got to go for it. And thirdly, what we learn from them is don't argue with God when God tells you to do something. Don't try to negotiate. Don't debate it. Listen, I have tried arguing with God before, and how many of you know He always wins? And let me just say this. If you win your argument with God, you lose. Isn't that true? Think about that. I mean, it's like I told the first service I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You know, I'm getting closer and closer to 60, so I don't know. Some of you understand the older you get, the more active your bladder gets, right? And sleeping through the night becomes a little bit more a challenge. It's like, I got to go to the bathroom, right? And I don't know. I still find myself arguing with myself at 3 o'clock when I got to go to the bathroom, and I'll lay there for like 30 minutes saying, maybe that feeling will go away. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll, okay, I don't want to get up. Maybe it'll go away. And it's like, how many of you know it never goes away? If it does go away, you got bigger problems, right? Let me just say that. So it's like, just get up and do it, right? And get back and do, you know, this is the same thing with truth. You're not going to win the argument. Like, okay, God, I'm going to do it. I give up. I surrender. I want to do it your way. No more my way. My way is not a good way, even if you think it is. Stop arguing with God. And the last one is to don't look back. Don't look back. Just like God told Lot's wife, Mrs. Lot, Salt Lick, I don't know what her name is. Like I said, Lot's wife, it's a tragic story. Because Sodom, that evil place, had that hold on her. She would not let go of her past. She would not let it go. And let me just ask you guys, I want to ask you, and look in your own heart, is there something that has a hold on you? Is there something in your past that has a hold on you and it keeps bringing you back? I mean, it's almost like you got God in one hand and you're wanting to follow Him, but in the other hand, you've got your past that you don't want to let go of. Right? And there's like this tug of war that's going on between God saying, come this way, and you're like, you're looking back and it's pulling you back that way. I want to tell you that you are never going to find real peace in life until you begin to let that go. Amen. And sometimes it takes a bold step to say, I'm letting this go. God, I'm following You. I'm coming at You, Lord. I'm going to follow at You. So I want to give you one verse just before we do it. And I'm just going to kind of tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to challenge you to leave something behind. Maybe God's been dealing you. Maybe there's something in your life that God's been dealing with you. Listen, we can make a choice to leave that today. Mother's Day 2024, you can say, hey, listen, I left this behind and I'm never looking back. So Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. What did He have to say about Lot's wife? Look at the next verse. He said, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. What was He saying? If you try to hang on to those things in your past that keep pulling you back, eventually you're going to lose. You're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your eternal life because it's going to pull you to the point that it's going to get you right back. But then he goes on to say, whoever loses his life, listen, he's talking about your past. When you choose to lose that, to let that stuff go, to no longer let it have a hold on your life, what does he say? You're going to preserve it because you're going to be with Christ. So remember Lot's wife. I hope the next time you hear about Lot's life, you realize, man, there's things I got to leave behind. I can't keep hanging on to them. I can't keep allowing them to pull me. And when it does, maybe you're in a hard and a difficult place and you're feeling that pull to go back. You've got to stand up and say, wait a minute, let me think about what is right. Let me think about what the right thing is to do. God, help me to let go of those things. Help me to not have them in my life anymore. God, I want to surrender completely to you. So as we, can I have everybody stand? And I'm going to actually ask those on our prayer team. We have a few of you guys here. People are visiting mom. Listen, you should come here and visit mom, right? Amen. So can I have our prayer team? Can I have you guys? And listen, I want to challenge you as we're singing this song. And I love how the first, what are the first words of that, the verses? Yeah, I'm casting my cares on you. I'm leaving my past behind. Somewhere's in there. So I want us to, as we're singing that, if that's you and you're making that declaration, and if you need someone to pray with you, listen, we got people on all up here. I want you to come up and make a decision today. It's between you and God, but make that decision today. So we're going to sing it, and as we're going into the song, and you feel like you need to come forward for prayer because you need to make a decision, we are with you. Listen, we are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are standing with you. God's got a better future than where you're at right now. Amen? Amen? But there's a decision you got to make. I can't make it for you. I can tell you, I can warn you, I can point you in the right direction, but you got to make that decision. Amen? Let's sing the song.